Hi, everyone. Thanks for being here. Before we jump in today's episode, I'd like to announce the next boot camp. It's going to start January 6, 2020, and we're putting it together right now. It should be our biggest boot camp so far. In 2019, we had 6 boot camps, and about 100 people went through it. And I have to tell you, it's been an amazing experience. In fact, this year has been incredible. Those people who went through the boot camp came from all over the world with all different levels of understanding the law of attraction and Joshua's teachings. Some had never even heard the term law of attraction and had just recently found Joshua, and some had been studying for years. But the thing that they all got is this new perspective about who they are, how this reality works, and how to engage the law of attraction to create the lives of their dreams. And so many amazing things have happened. People are starting podcasts, writing books, writing blogs, getting promotions at work, getting better relationships with their loved ones and children and spouses and parents and all that sort of thing. But the most amazing thing is the boot camp itself helps everyone discover their soul's purpose. You know, you came here intending to discover who you truly are and to find out what you're here to do. And when you go along on a journey of self-discovery, discovering who you truly are, all your attributes and talents emerge, things you didn't even know about yourself. You are a unique person, and every experience in your life is unique as well. And all of the experiences of your life had led you up to discovering law of attraction, maybe finding Abraham Hicks, maybe getting into yoga or something else, and then eventually finding Joshua. And now that you're here, it's time to take the next step in your evolution, your spiritual journey. You do that by engaging a process, an active process, where you work through all your limiting beliefs and all your pre-held conceptions about what physical reality was and about yourself, and you shed the illusion of unworthiness and imperfection and being flawed and all that stuff. You intended to expand in joy. Yet sometimes you expand in joy through experiences, and sometimes you expand in suffering. That suffering simply comes from a limited perspective brought forth by limiting beliefs. If you can adjust those limiting beliefs, reduce the intensity of them, then you offer less resistance. In that state of less resistance, you are more in alignment. And in alignment, you receive inspiration to take you on your spiritual journey to discover who you truly are. You end the resistance, and so all these amazing things start to happen. You've been led by inspiration, by guidance, to find the law of attraction, to find Joshua, to listen to this podcast, and now is time for you to go to the next level. The new bootcamp starts January 6th. If you would like to learn more about it, it is very intense. The only way you can learn more about it is to send me an email, joshuateachings@gmail.com. And then if you're interested in what you hear on that email, we can schedule a conversation to make sure you're at the right place and this is for you. It's a fun conversation. I've done about 100 of them so far, and everyone is different. So don't be scared. Don't let your fear stop you from doing what you're inspired to do. Reach out to me at joshuateachings@gmail.com, and I'll tell you all about it. So enjoy the show, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye.
In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here.
We are thrilled.
Hello. Welcome.
Hi, Joshua.
Welcome.
Hello, Joshua.
We'd like to remind you of the limitless nature of the universe. You must understand that the universe is infinite. In that infinity of what the nature is contains the limitlessness of it all, which means that what you perceive is happening in your reality is not what's happening in all realities, because in all realities, everything is possible. So from your perspective and your limited idea of self, you perceive that certain things are available to you, certain ideas are for you, certain inspirations for you, and other ideas are not for you. You think that you are capable of certain activities and certain actions, but yet other activities and other actions are not for you because you do not see yourself from the perspective of limitlessness. You see yourself from the perspective of limitation. Those limitations are created through a set of beliefs that you've adopted along the way. Those beliefs create the reality that you're living. And so to live a more expanded reality, you would simply embrace possible new ideas, possible new beliefs, possible new perspectives on who you are. You have to understand that you, as your own universe, are also limitless. And that everything you've experienced in the past is not a prerequisite or does not confine you to any experience of the future. What's happened in the past led you to this moment, and that was perfect as it was, yet you are far more than you perceive yourself to be. And so past experiences were simply the representation of who you were at that time. As you are evolving into a higher perspective of who you are, understand that you're source, understand that you're limitless, possible new experiences for you contain with it the limitless nature of the universe, the limitless nature of you. And the only thing that's getting in your way of anything that you want is this attention to what is missing, this belief that you are limited, this belief that you cannot be, have, and do all that you want, and the belief that you have to be good. In order to get what you want, you think you have to be good, and then when Christmas comes along, Santa will give it to you. This is not how the universe works. This is how humans operated. This idea of being good to get something in the future is an idea based in control. It's a way to control you. And you might say to yourself, I must be good now in order to have a good life in the future. And we say, drop this idea of good or bad, right or wrong, and simply focus on what you're interested in doing. You are good. You were born good. You are the essence of good. You are love. Love is good. There is no wrong and there is no bad. There are experiences and exploration of all types. And from a limited perspective, you could judge something as good or bad. And that's duality. The universe does not operate in duality. The universe operates in limitlessness. It's all good. Everything is good. Everything is fine. There is nothing wrong. There is nothing you have to do. There is nothing you have to prove. You can simply realize that you are the universe that you reside in, that that universe is limited, limitless, and that you can have, be, and do anything you want. The abundance that comes to you is not financial abundance, as you're always focusing on the financial aspects of abundance. The abundance is everything you need to do whatever you need to do to explore whatever you're exploring now. So don't seek financial abundance to solve some problem. Realize that everything you need will come. And if money is needed, money will come. And if people are needed, people will come. And if experiences are needed, experiences will come. And if manifestation events are needed to show you the limiting beliefs, those manifestations will come. And you very much want them to come. You want to identify your limiting beliefs so that you can process them, reduce the intensity of those beliefs, prove to yourself that they are false, and allow yourself to be moved towards anything you desire. Anything that you desire is possible for you. If it did not come to you, it wouldn't be for you. It would be for someone else. What comes to you is for you, not for anyone else. It is all for you. There isn't anything for anyone else in the thoughts that come to you. Those thoughts are based on who you truly are, not who anyone else truly is. You can have, be, and do anything you want. Think about what you want, not what you're missing, but think about the experience that you want, the feelings you want, the emotions you want. Think about who you truly are. Think about the desires that you initiated prior to coming into this physical reality. Your pre-birth intentions, what were those? Those were based on an exploration, not based on achieving anything or validating yourself or manifesting anything physical. The physical manifestations are simply representations of your feelings. Your pre-birth intentions were all about the exploration. What are you interested in doing? What are you interested in seeking? Primarily, we will say that in the most general terms, that pre-birth desire for a certain exploration was to discover who you are in this reality. And when you go along that path of self-discovery, everything you need to conduct that exploration will come to you at the perfect timing, without any effort and struggle on your part. It'll all come through inspiration. What holds you apart from that pure exploration of who you truly are? Your limiting beliefs. Your limiting beliefs trigger fear when you're inspired to do something, and so you succumb to that fear and you do not move forward to the discovery of your true self. In that discovery of your authentic self, you must know that due to the fact that you are absolutely unique, that you are living a unique experience of life, that you are not going to live this life like anyone else, that you are not going to have the talents and attributes of anyone else. You are going to have your own unique set of talents and attributes, and that will allow you to further conduct your exploration, to further find out who you truly are in this physical representation. You chose it all. You chose your body, your parents, the time and date of your birth. You chose your sex, your looks, your height, your form, all of these things, all of these inner attributes that you have, that you possess, your emotional sensitivity. You chose it all so that you could conduct this very specific exploration of who you truly are. It's all unique to you. If you start realizing that your power all lies within, perfectly capable of doing anything that you're inspired to do, because that inspiration will be unique to you. As long as you can realize this and move forward in that direction, you will see the most elegant manifestation of every single feeling that is most desirable to you. And with that, we would like to talk about anything you'd like to talk about. Who would like to start? Jump on in. Who would like to ask the first question, the least most important question of this session?
I'd like to jump in first.
Excellent, Jeremy.
Okay, first of all, I want to give a big shout out to the universe, because after a very slow November, I just manifested some great money from some art sales, and actually somebody sent me money through Facebook. The same time, though, I have a lot of obligations, and I just happened to pick up an abundance of cold viruses, really bad ones. So I'm trying to get through this lingering illness, and I'm wondering why it's happening at such a time when I've got a lot of deadlines and things all of a sudden.
You have a perception of, we'll start by saying that you have created a set of obligations. And are these obligations real, or are they all imaginary? What does the term obligation even mean to you?
Well, to me, it means that I have clients, I have some clients alongside my job, and I have some projects in progress for them. They've given me down payments. I've got to complete the projects.
What happens if you don't complete the projects?
I may not get paid, and I might have to pay them back.
What happens if you transition to the non-physical with one of these helpful viruses that you've attracted?
Ooh.
Would you be able to keep your obligations?
Well, I guess that's out of my hands.
Would you even care about it?
I don't think so.
From your non-physical position, the authentic version of who you truly are, would you have an obligation?
Well, I wouldn't have an obligation. That's for the physical beings whom I'm dealing with to sort out, I suppose.
Would you say that obligations are based in absolute freedom and love? Or would you say that obligations institute limitation and are based in fear?
I think it depends on your perspective. When I speak of obligations, it's something I don't necessarily want to do. I had to cover many bills and things. So it's like if somebody offers you some work for some money, you've got to take it. or else what will happen? But I've been trusting the universe a lot more often and seeing more and more of these windfalls come my way.
And so, as you trust the universe to allow you to conduct an exploration of who you truly are, this amazing artist that you are, this brilliant creator who brings forth non-physical ideas and puts them onto canvas and creates a version of these non-physical ideas that are unique and have never occurred before in history, or and will never be created before for the rest of time. As you are bringing forth these ideas and appreciating the fact that they are unique to you, and only you can bring forth these ideas, no one else can do it. And without the attachment to your value in the delivery or the creation of this artwork, the artwork flows. It's the simple creation process that you're interested in, not right. the obligation or the definition of who you are as defined by what someone would pay for it. If you can get back away from not needing to do anything other than to do the art and let it play out as it will, you will have everything you need to keep creating that art without having to do anything that you do not want to do. Everything that you want to do is effort and struggle if it's an obligation. Everything that you want to do coming from inspiration is pure joy and ease. Would you prefer to be in the creation process in more joy and ease, or in the effort and struggling part to maintain obligations? So the basis of this universe is that you are the sole creator of your reality. That anything other than this idea of you as a creator of the reality is based on a limiting belief. The limiting belief that if you do not pay your obligations or live up to those obligations, you will face some loss. And we're here to tell you that's all based on a limiting belief. The truth is, if you gave up all of your obligations, you would exist in a state of freedom. If you were not concerned about the next month's rent, buying Christmas presents, doing all the things you think you have to do, if you were not focused on those at all, and we're simply focused on the joy of the creation of whatever you're interested in doing, whether that's art or spending time with friends or watching TV, whatever that joy was, which involves pushing past fear, whatever that joy is the thing that will allow you to live the life you intended to live. The perception that you must do certain things that you don't want to do in order to scrounge together enough whatever it is, financial abundance, to pay some obligations you think are important, are coming from a very, very highly limited perspective. We're not saying it's a wrong perspective. We're simply saying, compared to the magnificence that is you, the magnificence that is Source, it is paltry by comparison. It is incomparable. And we want you to see the bigger picture. As you are receiving more faith in how this universe works, more faith in your abilities as a creator, without the attention to all the drama and hoopla and nonsense around you, you can focus on that which you love, that which brings you joy, and do not attach anything to the outcome or what it means to who you are as a human, then you will flourish. You will flourish greater than any that you have ever seen. Those who have flourished while living in this lifetime have dropped this idea that they need to be defined by what they do. And they simply did what they did for the pure enjoyment of it, the pure pleasure of it. Focus on the pleasure you want to do. In resistance, you are going to attract some viruses. Those viruses right. will slow you down and cause you to go through an expansive experience where at the end of that experience, you will realize those obligations never meant anything ever.
Ah, excellent. That's what I figured. Thank you so very much, Joshua.
Excellent.
It's getting better and better all the time.
Very good. We're pleased. Who's next?
I've got a question.
Yes.
Hi, Joshua. So I guess my question is that how to deal with quite deep and profound sadness. And I
how to deal with a quite deep and profound disconnection from your inner self. How to deal with a perspective that is so limited as compared to your inner self that you are flooded with guidance in the form of negative emotion.
Mm.
And so what would be the most practical ways to deal with this out of alignment state, this disconnection, this argument with your inner self?
Well, I guess, I don't know, trying to get myself back to alignment, breathing, processing the limiting beliefs. It's the sadness is about my situation not having had children. I created all of it. I get all of that. And I guess the thing is, I feel like I've gone through life. I've really sought to reinvent. But I just had a massive manifestation event last night in the lead up to Christmas, and I just heard what you said about the drama and hoopla of Christmas. It's exactly right. Like I can see intellectually how it's all played out. My part in it, the whole deal, but still, and I guess I'm frustrated that I still got caught up in it because I should, having done this work, I should know better, but I don't. And then I've created a lot of drama, it just feels like I know where I want to go, but it still just drags me down sometimes. It's just how to move on. And I hear what you say. It's a disconnect. I get that.
Your inner self is looking at you from a very high perspective. Your inner self has more information than you have. So your inner self cannot maintain this information and a limiting belief at the same time. If you had all the information, you could not maintain a limiting belief. If you were to go on a cruise ship, and you went to bed at night, would you fear that the cruise ship would fall off the end of the earth?
No.
Because you can't maintain the fact that you understand the earth is a ball, is round, and there are no edges to fall off of. So you can't have a limiting belief about falling off the edge of the earth if you know that the earth is round. If you have all the information, you can't maintain a limiting belief. And so from your perspective, you say, I should have this that I do not have. Yet from the higher perspective, your inner self has all the information and understands that this is not part of your life experience. That you perceiving that you're lacking something is the exploration in lack. And that is a fine exploration. Because when you return to the non-physical, you will have all the information and you will realize that that was not one of your pre-birth intentions and that your journey of self-discovery was. And yet this idea that comes to you based in a belief structure that you've adopted as a child, based on the parents and family that you chose, based on the time and place of your birth, you knew you would adopt these beliefs. And so now you adopt the belief that children are some benefit or solution to a life. And you find yourself without children. And so then you say to yourself, you come to a conclusion that I can't have a good life without children. And so your inner self is saying, no, you don't have all the information. This life is not about children. This life is about you finding out who you are. You discovering who you are. And yet part of that discovery is the adoption of those limiting beliefs. And then coming to a place in your life when you realize that, no, this is about a life of self-discovery, which all lives are about a life of self-discovery, but a more specific one from your perspective, in your terms, as you determine prior to your birth. You would also know all the lives, were there children, some which brought you joy, some which brought you misery, some which brought you suffering, some which brought you happiness. All the mix up in all of that, all the discovery of who you are in that. And here you chose to come into a life without children for a very specific and important reason, to not use the children as a crutch to feel good or bad. If you had children, you would base how you feel on how they are getting on in their lives. And in the case of not having children, you cannot use that crutch. You have to come to terms with how you are getting on with life, how you are perceiving things. You have to come to terms with how you perceive reality. Are you feeling good? That simply means that there is no limiting belief around whatever you're focused on in this moment. Are you feeling bad? It simply means you have a limiting belief and something is triggering that limiting belief to cause you to feel fear or suffering or anguish or depression or whatever that is. And it's simply because you don't have all the information. So imagine now that you set a pre-birth intention to come to the time and date of your birth, to understand more about who you truly are, and without the nuances or the experiences that children would bring to that. The freedom for you to live any life you wanted to live without the attachment to other people in your life at that level. And so, of course, you have attachments. You have relatives and you have lovers and you have mates and you have friends and you have all these things. But those are different attachments compared to a child attachment. And so for you in this life, it's to sift and sort through life to discover who you are without that specific attachment, which enables you a sense of freedom that you would not have had you had children, because you would always be perceiving yourself through their eyes. You would always be trying to be something that they would appreciate. You see, rather than being who you are now, the freedom to decide who you want to be, who you really are in any moment. So how did this sadness pop up?
It was to do with just how Christmas Day is going to be spent, because my husband wants to go and do Christmas morning with his ex-wife and children and open the presents. The kids are older and I had thought that this year would be different and we'd perhaps have a different tradition of our own. And I guess it's also because I lost my mum in March, so I'm also a bit sensitive about that.
So it's not really the children aspect of it. It is the lonely feeling of it.
Yeah. The lonely feeling comes from, if I'd had my own children, then I would have my own things that I would do with them in the morning.
You were making that up. You're using your imagination to create a limiting scenario, because any imagination other than the brilliance of the life that you are living is an unempowered way to use your imagination. Instead, you can use your imagination to imagine spending the day with yourself, with your inner self, with your guidance supporters, and with your mother at a different level than you've ever been before. Taking away the make-believe importance of that one day of the year that is nothing but a manufactured reason to give gifts at a certain time that is forced, and most of it is done out of fear, you can rearrange in your mind what that day means to you. Mm. And you can realize that other people can't make you feel anything. You're choosing to feel bad for not being around them, or you're choosing to feel bad being around them, or you're choosing to feel good in a time of solitude and reflection, or you're choosing to feel good around other people. This is all your choice. The conditions are set up perfectly by the universe to give you everything you need to come to another level of understanding. If you could go to 2 weeks from Christmas in the future and look back on the day that you had, you would see it differently than you do now. You are looking at it in fear. I'm going to be all alone. I don't have my own special thing to do with my family. I don't have this kind of family. I now no longer have my mother. That means that I don't have a family and I'm all alone. That is not part of who you truly are. That is part of the limited version of who you're being. For you to become who you are, you must embrace everything that's actually happening instead of resist what is actually happening. In this embracing of whatever what is actually happening, you can say, oh, isn't this different than what I expected? This is not how I thought it would go. I'm going to release my attachment to how I imagined it happening, and I'm going to embrace how it's actually happening. Because how I imagined it happening was not for my benefit, and that's why it did not happen, or it will not happen. What is actually happening is for my highest good. Here's an important point here. You do not want to change any of it. You do not want to make your husband feel guilty for going off to that family. You do not want to ask to tag along. You do not want to go and do anything that's an effort or a struggle. You simply want to allow everything to unfold perfectly and then be present within it to understand the value of your, what you're actually receiving. And this is not just true of Christmas Day. This is true of every single day of your life. Everything is working out perfectly to bring you everything you need. This is the approach to life that if you adopt, you will feel good in all such moments. And you will simply realize when you're feeling a bit of fear, and that fear is because you're using your imagination in an unempowering way to imagine that things should be different than they are if you are to feel good. You have the absolute choice of how you feel. You can perceive that things are going wrong, or you can perceive that things are going right. We will tell you from the higher perspective that things are always going right. And the way that you can know this is by how you feel. In your negative emotion, you are perceiving reality as an illusion, and your inner self is sending you the negative emotion so that you can get what you need.
So I can get what I need. And I guess
so that you can get what you need in every moment.
Yeah. And I guess that was the thing, because as I was sort of in the middle of this manifestation event last night, I could hear your voice. I could hear, this is all for you. This is all for you. This is all for you. You've got to settle down. You've got to understand that. But still, it was like I was just, I don't know if it was my ego or whatever, but I was just being dragged down under, it was like I was being dragged under the ocean by the, you know, like a rip being dragged under by the, all the negative emotion. And I'm, you know, by the end of it,
If you could rate your idea of your own worthiness on a scale of 1 to 10, how worthy you feel, what number would you put on that?
I would normally have said about a 7, but based on this, about a 2.
Let's say if it was a 7. Hmm. And so you say, for me to feel the worthiness of who I truly am, that the conditions must reflect to me how worthy I am. The conditions are reflecting to you how worthy you are. You are a 10 worthiness, and those conditions are reflecting it to you. But your perception of it is that you're unworthy. And you would say, if I was worthy, I would have children, I would have friends and family all around me, gathering around me on this special day to share this special day with me. Since I'm not worthy, I have no children, and everyone's off. My mother's in the non-physical, my husband's with another family, and I'm all alone. That is proof of my unworthiness. And your inner self is saying, that is simply proof of your limited perspective. Mm. If you felt worthy, you would be happy for your mother to go to the non-physical. You'd be happy for your husband to go to spend time with his children. You would be excited about it all. The intensity of the doubt and fear around that is directly related to the limiting belief, the intensity of that belief that says you are not worthy of love. Realize that you are absolutely worthy of love, just as everyone is worthy of love. You can't be unworthy of love. That's all based in your idea of being good. You are good. You have been good. You are worthy of everything you want. You simply have limiting beliefs. And so the universe is giving you a scenario where you can feel the intensity of those limiting beliefs through the emotion you're feeling, and you can say for yourself right now, I want to change my course of exploration and discover how worthy I am. Mm-hmm. And in that new idea, you'll maintain your alignment and you will receive inspiration that will blow your mind to cause you to take action, to move along a path of self-discovery, coming from a place of unworthiness to worthiness, that will light a light that others will see in you and want to know what you know. Think of all the other people on earth at this time around Christmas feeling unworthy. Mm. Within families, alone, it doesn't matter. They could be surrounded by people, feel unworthy, and then use every single other person's actions as their proof of unworthiness. And this is what people do when they feel unworthy. Those who feel worthy use everyone's actions around them, especially their own actions, to prove that they are worthy. I feel fine being on my own. I am going to use this time to reflect and to do what I want to do. I'm going to connect with my mother. I'm going to be happy for my husband. I'm going to be enjoying myself fully. And in that power, you're going to receive feelings you've never felt before. On that day, alone in your house, doing what you're inspired to do on that day, not needing validation from anyone else to prove that you're worthy, but just feeling the worthiness that is the true essence of you. This would be the greatest gift you could ever give yourself and to all of those who ever witness your power in your alignment. And this will change your life. You can go through this one day from a higher perspective, seeing what is there for you, realizing the magical things that will come to you on that day that you never saw coming. That will change your entire perception of your reality and will change the course of your exploration away from who you're not and toward who you truly are. When you start, and you've already started, going on that exploration of self-discovery, manifestations like this will emerge to bring you to a new level of awareness that you would never been able to handle before at any other time. You couldn't have this manifestation event at this time if you were not able to handle it, if you were not able to see through it. You have that ability. This is not beyond you. This is well within your ability to process. And if you do, you will expand greatly towards the true version of you.
Thank you, Joshua.
Excellent. Who's next?
Can I jump in with that conversation, or would you rather take another question?
Go ahead. Jump on in.
I just feel that I would love to acknowledge the last speaker, because I didn't see who it was. I was not able to see the screen, for your courage to jump in and reveal such a vulnerable topic about yourself. And I just first of all, feel in my heart to acknowledge you about that. And then I just want to add to what Joshua is saying, is that I am a divorced parent. I have two boys. Christmas has been sometimes a great deal of brought suffering to me because of the struggle between, you know, him and her, and the schedule of boys, and sometimes, how do you want to say, deceptive actions that were taken to, in my view, anyway, that's my story, to sweep them off to a place where I couldn't even see them for the entire Christmas. And this year, I won't see them at all. I'm in Mexico. One of them, I think, is in Rio de Janeiro. I didn't know he was there. Another one will be in Calgary. And they've actually, one of my sons has said that they're thankful that I'm in Mexico because it's decreasing their obligations that they feel to try to be with their mom, with the mom of the girlfriend, and it just goes on and on. Right?
So now, from your perspective now, where you are, where you've come to at this point in time, compared to the perspective that you had when you were struggling through those times in Christmas with your ex and shuffling the boys around, you can see that that was a reflection of who you were being at the time, and this is a reflection of who you're being now.
Yes.
You don't perceive that you have the obligation to do anything you're not inspired to do. Now you can perceive that if you're inspired to do something, and if you do it, even pushing past the fear of not being around at Christmas to do the same old things that you've always done, that they will resent you for not being there.
Yeah.
And now you find out that not only do they not resent you, they appreciate you, because it makes it easier for them to maintain their own obligations.
Exactly.
Excellent. Very good.
Yeah.
Who's next?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I could add even more than that, but I will carry on.
Very good. Excellent. Thank you. Who's next?
Joshua, this is Kelly. I have something I can share.
Please.
So I just wanted to share a little bit as far as my journey, where I am today. And so my wife had a health event this today, and it prevented her from going to work. And so we dealt with that. And so I got the kids ready and got them off to school. And so but I could tell that, you know, not going to work, you know, upset my wife. She was, you know, troubled by that. And so I went off to work, went back home at lunchtime to check on her, and she's feeling much better, thankfully. And I could still tell that, you know, she was down. And so, you know, I had the inspiration to tell her that, you know, her self-worth isn't based off of her work or her contribution from a financial perspective. And, you know, I could tell that was meaningful to her, you know, by the words that she used. And so I wonder if you could expand a little bit more, because me.
Oops, we lost you there. Kelly? Okay, let's come back to Kelly. Who would like to jump in?
I would.
Excellent.
Yes. So this is the first time I can join. So I'm very, very happy.
Excellent.
I think things are changing at this moment for me. I had first a throat, couldn't speak twice a day, not twice a day, but 2 days. And now I had a fever Saturday, you know, all day in bed with a fever, and definitely something with processing things. And we had this fantastic talk the other day, the mid talk. And I'm able to apply things in my yoga teaching. That's really fantastic. So today, before class started, someone told me she was leaving the class because she had problems with her back. And most of the time, I'm very, I'm a bit shocked when somebody leaves the group. And you said, it doesn't matter how many people there are. And I just had it right there with me. And that was really great. And I went, yeah.
Well, this is what humans tend to do. They tend to base their self-worth on what's happening outside of them, rather than realizing that you are here simply to do what you're inspired to do. And the outcome has nothing to do with who you are. The outcome has to do with how you perceive yourself and how you enjoy what you're doing. The outcome can take care of itself, but the outcome will generally be a reflection of who you're being. And so if you're in resistance to an outcome that in the past you would not prefer, that you would say, if I was good, this person would not leave, then you take the action of the other person personally. And you try to, well, what you will do is you will feel a sense of negative emotion, or, and you will dip into a lower emotional state of being. Mm-hmm. And then you will get an urge to change that condition. Because if that condition changes, then you can feel better. And so you might talk the person out of quitting or of leaving. And this could lead or would lead to another manifestation event, because you're resisting what is actually happening. If you can just be in the joy of what you're doing without concern of the outcome, because the outcome is far more limitless than you can understand. You might say income, financial income is a sign of how well you're doing or how worthy you are. You might say that positive feedback is a sign of how well you're doing. And so you strive to get more feedback and more financial abundance by efforting and struggling your way through things. And that has nothing to do with the thing that you're inspired to do. The thing you're inspired to do in this case is to teach yoga. Just for that time that you're teaching the yoga, just the enjoyment of that, and just the alignment in that time. Now, if you're teaching yoga and you have wobble in there, you have fear about what other people think, whether they'll stay in the class or leave the class, well, then you aren't bringing forth the true inspiration to do whatever you're inspired to do for your highest good and for the highest good of all involved. With the wobble, you are bringing in urges to change conditions or to manufacture conditions that you think would represent a more worthy version of you. And it's all about changing the outside conditions to make you feel something you do not feel. Instead, as we've said many, many, many times before, think about what you're inspired to do, what you enjoy doing, what gives you pleasure. Think about bringing forth the non-physical through thought into physical form. Think about the enjoyment of that process as the true creator that you are, and then everything else will take care of itself. But you have to perceive yourself from a very high perspective of worthiness. You have to realize that these thoughts that are coming to you are for you, that this idea that you're interested in is for you, and that you need not be anything other than who you are. Those ideas that are coming to you to do yoga, to teach singing, are based on what you personally enjoy. And anything else would be based on the fact that you think that you might do something else to make yourself feel worthy and manufacture appreciation or money or whatever that is. And whatever that is would be an effort and a struggle. So it's very simple. The core thing that you're inspired to do as you're doing it will be a passion, will be an interest, will be fun and easy and enjoyable. And anything else that you're trying to do to manufacture some end result will seem like effort and struggle. When you remove out of all the fear away from whatever you're inspired to do and just do it purely based on this high sense of worthiness, then everything that you truly want will manifest in your reality. And that might be something different than what you think you want.
Mm-hmm.
As you have a little fear and wobble in there, you might encounter a cold. But also, as you process some deeply held limiting beliefs, you might also encounter a cold. As the release of the stored resistance comes forth, one of the easiest ways to allow that to come forth is through an illness. Because the illness allows you time to lay in bed, to let it all flow out, to lose attachment to things, your obligations that you think you need to do. Obligations, you see. What if the body needs time to release trapped fear and resistance, and you still have to effort and struggle your way through these obligations? The body is saying, we're not moving. We're not going to do anything. And if you say, well, I'm going to push through this, then you're just going to be in more resistance and make that illness last a little bit longer than it needs to.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay. Thank you.
Is Kelly back?
I am. I must have had some technical difficulties.
Excellent. Yes. So your wife was home from work, and you went home to lunch to see her, and she was feeling better, and then you shared with her what?
Yes, I had shared with her that her self-worth is not a result of her job or what she can produce or contribute to society or our family.
What is her self-worth based on?
Her connection to source, her inspiration, her joy that she has for being. And so I guess to that, I am conditioned, and I think the culture that I live in is conditioned to be focused on producing and doing in order to fulfill our worthiness to ourselves or to society.
And so you're saying that the amount of income you earn, the accolades you receive from your employer, the appreciation that you get from others is your indication of self-worth. Therefore, in your society, some are worth more than others.
Yeah, absolutely. That has been my mindset for a long time, as well as that mindset is shared by my wife. And so I'm thankful that, you know, through your wisdom and the new approach to life, can have a different approach, different mindset to what is worthiness, that we're all worthy, that we're all equal. And so I wonder if you can maybe perhaps expand upon that, specifically around the sense of needing to do or to contribute or to produce in order to feel worthy.
The idea that you're not worthy will cause you to create circumstances, conditions, experiences to prove your worthiness. That's all based in fear of not being worthy. And so you'll effort and you struggle your way to create what society deems as worthy. High income, lots of possessions, lots of things, lots of friends, lots of family, lots of people that like, love, and respect you. And if you're efforting and struggling your way to all these things, since the only thing that matters in this reality is how you feel, you're efforting and struggling your life away to obtain what's always been there all along. It doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? If you could live in worthiness, not need the outside conditions to reflect anything on you, to make other people think you're worthy or to make yourself think you're worthy. You just stand in your own worthiness, in your own appreciation of self, in your knowing of your own source self. You are not separate from source, you are source. If source is worthy, you're worthy. You can't be anything other than worthy. You could not prove unworthiness. It would not be possible. You are worthy no matter what you do. You are worthy if you're the best person on earth or the worst person on earth. That judgment of good and bad is based in fear anyway, based from a limited perspective. From a higher perspective, you're absolutely worthy. And so if you could relax in your worthiness, then you'd be inspired to do what brings you joy. And in the doing of what brings you joy, you are not seeking validation. Because in seeking validation for what brings you joy, you are introducing so much wobble in that vibration that you'll be exploring the opposite of what brings you joy. If you can give up needing to be validated, you can just do what you're inspired to do, you will live a life of joy and ease and bliss and worthiness. And you will receive manifestations that reflect how you feel. And if you feel love, if you feel appreciation, if you feel good, if you feel gratitude, if you feel excitement and interest and curiosity and exhilaration, you're going to receive manifestations that reflect how you're feeling. Those manifestations will always be based in pure love at the highest vibrational level. This is the true path to what you would call success. And those who are truly successful, who are truly successful because they're creating amazing things and they're feeling very good in the process, are naturally doing this. They don't care what other people think. They don't think they're unworthy. They understand their worthiness. They're looking at themselves from the highest perspective. They're not always looking into everyone else's eyes and into their brains to see what these people are thinking. They are assuming they think they're wonderful, worthy people. The people may not think that, but in the eyes of the people who think they're worthy, that's reflected back to them. And so if you feel unworthy, someone's comment might be proof that you're unworthy. You might accept that comment as proof that you're unworthy. And if you are feeling worthy, you would take that exact same comment to validate your worthiness. Do you see how it's the perspective of the comment that creates the meaning, not the actual comment itself?
Yes.
You may have experience with this yourself. You might have said something that was completely innocent, but was taken in a way that someone took offense to. Mm-hmm. And it was based on their limiting beliefs. Without those limiting beliefs, they could not have taken offense to your innocent comment. So it's always the perspective. And if someone feels highly unworthy, everything they see in their reality is going to be proof of their unworthiness. If they feel highly worthy, every single thing in their reality is going to be proof of their worthiness, and those things could be exactly the same. It's all this perspective. You've been programmed, taught, trained, schooled to do, 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 do. And if you do enough, you'll get a good grade. And that grade will be proof of your worthiness. You've had many years of school, day in, day out, day in, class in, class out, test here, quiz here, quiz here. Taking home a grade, the parents take the grade. If it's a good grade, it goes in the refrigerator. If it's a bad grade, you get punished. You've been taught to be good. You've been taught to produce. You've been taught to accept your worthiness based on what you do, not who you are. And if you choose to base your worthiness on what you do, you will never find out who you are, because you will always be led in the exploration of who you're not. The only way to discover who you are is to accept your worthiness and give up this idea of being good or bad. Do what you're inspired to do. If you're inspired to do something and other people might think it's bad because it triggers one of their limiting beliefs and they feel fear, that's them, that's not you. You, if you are interested or excited about anything and you move in the direction of that exploration, you will unlock powers and talents and attributes that you never knew existed. And you will start moving towards more worthiness and more worthiness. If you choose to abide by the system of control and try to be good and try to do more, you will be gooder and do more and be better and work on self-improvement to no end. And it'll keep on going. And you may manifest what looks like success to the casual observer, but you will never feel good because you will always be exploring the false, inauthentic self. And that will never bring you the feelings that you intended to feel. It'll never be satisfying or fulfilling. You always want to move on the journey of self-discovery and process other people's ideas of you by using your imagination in an empowering way. You can imagine they think good things of you or bad things of you. You'll never know because you can't read minds. And it doesn't matter anyway because their perception of you is based on their perspective, based on their limiting beliefs. They cannot see you. They cannot know you. It's not possible. Your parents could not know you. It's not possible. Your wife cannot know you. Your children cannot know you. Your friends cannot know you. You don't even know yourself because you've been playing the game, the inauthentic game of trying to be good your entire life. You've been doing the right thing and doing right thing and doing right thing and having great times of joy and also times of effort and struggle. And you've had enough times of joy and see yourself as worthy enough that you've been led along the path to find yourself here. And now you're ready for a new approach to life that says that fundamentally you are worthy above all, you are unique, and you are equal to all because you are Source itself, and Source is worthy. And you are a unique expression of Source that has never experienced life in this form ever before, nor will it ever again. Your life experience is unique. That's why you're here, to have this unique perspective, because Source wants a unique perspective from all these different angles. And without your perspective of Source, there would be a brick missing in the wall of all that is. And the wall would be less strong and less complete. It would be incomplete. This is how you know your worthiness, because you are unique. There is no one like you. Now, whether you choose to explore who you're not or who you truly are doesn't matter, because when you return to the non-physical, you will gain through the expansion of everything that you experienced, and that is fine. From your human level here right now, you've explored the old approach to life of control enough, realizing that it will never be satisfying. And so now you bravely found yourself here, one of the first to find themselves here, even considering the idea of a new approach to life of absolute acceptance with yourself, with all others, and with the conditions as they exist to explore who you truly are. This is a new exploration of life. This is a completely new way of living in physical reality. It is counterintuitive to everything that you've been taught, but it is the only way to discover the joy of life from a perspective of source, and not from a perspective that you need to prove anything to anyone else.
Yes. Thanks, Josh. Those comments were very fitting for where I am in my journey.
Excellent. Very good. We have time for one more question. This has got to be the most important question ever asked by any human in the history of the world. Who would like to ask this last question? Someone brave is coming through. Someone brave has a question. They're inspired, but there's a little bit of fear because the importance of this question is daunting and will make waves throughout the universe. Who has the last question? Okay, then. This is an excellent time to end this conversation. We admire the bravery of all of you for pushing past fear to join us in this conversation about a new approach to life, to realize that you are going to feel fear, that you've adopted limiting beliefs, that those limiting beliefs will be with you in some form always, that you cannot cast aside a limiting belief. You cannot remove it, but you can reduce the intensity of it. And as you see yourself from the higher perspective of worthy, of source itself, living a physical existence, if you can see that you can have, be, and do anything because you are limitless and you are infinite, and as source is limitless and infinite, so are you. This physical reality provides the perfect platform for creation. Whatever you're inspired to do is what you can do. You can always take the first step on that exploration. It's not the fruition of the idea. That's a unempowering use of your imagination. If you can simply think about the one thing you could do in the moment, that will take you on a journey of expansion. One thing at a time. One step one, another step one, another step one. We enjoyed this conversation immensely. We are thrilled to be here with you, and we cannot wait to see you again. Until then, we are complete.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Joshua.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you all.
Have a wonderful rest of your week.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.